Welcome back to the Brexit Brits Abroad podcast. I'm Michaela Benson. Today's episode was recorded while I was on location in rural France, and I invited Karen O'Reilly to come and talk to me about the project and what it would be like to take part. So today we thought we'd talk to you a little bit about our past research and our expertise, but also why we think it's important at this point in time to think again about the British in Europe and introduce the project to you a little bit. So I realised that last time we talked a little bit about Karen's work in Spain, but maybe Karen, you could remind us a little bit about that work that you were doing.
Morning, Michaela. So as far as I remember, the first time I did any research in Spain was 93 to 94. This was my PhD, 15 months living in the Costa del Sol with my family, real in-depth ethnographic field work. And it's really difficult to believe this now, but there was hardly anything written in academia about migration. British migration abroad was just not something people wrote very much about, other than they featured in soap operas and such as El Dorado and the occasional television program, or they featured as criminals in the occasional ongoing series on television. So it was the first academic research done on this topic. So it was kind of really quite open, exploratory. What kinds of, who are these people? How do they live? What sorts of lives are they living? That kind of thing. And so I didn't just focus on older people. I focused on the whole population.
Do you want to just explain to people who might not know what ethnographic fieldwork is?
Absolutely, glad to. I love ethnographic fieldwork. So ethnographic fieldwork is about learning from people by being with them. We still do interviews, but we do interviews as and when they arise, because you're with someone and you're looking at their life, living their life alongside them. We learn from being with people and watching them and learning through living their lives in a similar way as well. And we might even complement that with a survey as well. So it's very much mixed methods of approach used by being there in the context of people's lives and learning from them and with them. And I love it. To go back then, that was 15 months for my PhD. And then I did, because we bought a house, so we became British migrants ourselves in a way, not living there full time, but part time. Going backwards and forwards an awful lot for the next 10 years. And then I did a 10-year update in 2003, 2004, 2005. That was more interview-based, because then I had a job and didn't have the luxury of being able to spend a year living somewhere different. And done a 20-year update more recently, kept in touch with a lot of people over these. So some of these people that I talk to now I've known for over 20 years. A lot of people included in the research now are new, people I haven't known before as well. But it's meant that I've looked at various different angles related to this topic.
So following very close to what you did, Karen, I went to France in 2004 and did a similar period, well, not 15 months, I think it was 9 months in the first instance and a little bit of time the following year, working with that British population who lived in rural France, specifically in the Lot, which is the least populated, one of the least populated areas in France, spending time with them as you did, having conversations with them. And I wrote a book, which is called The British in Rural France, which was published in 2011. But since that time, I haven't had the opportunity to come back until now. And right now, I am actually in the Lot doing research with those British populations, which is really fascinating to see how their lives have unfolded since I was here 12 years ago. That's the last time I was here. And looking at how they think about Brexit, because clearly, I think this is really how we get round to thinking about those changing conditions and those changing contexts, which you've very evidently been able to document over the, I guess it's nearly 25 years since you first went to Spain. But Brexit now marks a possible change. We don't really know what's going to happen. But I think that's why we both thought it was important to come back and talk with and be with these populations again.
Absolutely, Michaela. And I think at first it really hadn't hit me the extent to which Brexit was going to be such a disruption in people's lives. In many ways, because I did my first research in 1993, people might remember that free movement was introduced as part of the Maastricht Treaty in 1992. So it hadn't really taken effect in 1993 to the extent it has now. So people did still have to apply for residence permits, have a certain amount of capital in the bank, have health insurance and things like that. In Spain, this is. But of course, you know, after 20, 25 years of a free movement with people maybe not even needing to apply for residence permits in some cases, this is huge in their lives and maybe even a rupture, you know, maybe that big. And there are people who are really thinking about, you know, not just how they will live, but where they will live next and their whole future. And I think you've been saying, Mikkel, the research you've been doing already, I just say that I haven't had a chance to go back to Spain yet and update my research, but I'm looking forward to doing that fairly soon. But just talking to people that I already know, it's really having a massive effect on their lives every day.
I think that's right. I mean, this is something that I'm picking up here in France at the moment, which is, and it's not the case for everybody, I'll be very, very clear, but for some people, this is causing them to question their futures in a way that they hadn't been doing, because they'd been here, it was quite normal for them to be here. They might have been here for 10, 15 years, they might be more recent than that. But Brexit potentially challenges that freedom of movement, that right to reside, which is really the reason that a lot of people are here, the right to reside and work in another European Union country. It challenges their access to healthcare, other types of rights and entitlements. And there's also the issue of the devaluation of the pound in respect to the euro, which has come up time and time again. You know, people sitting up on the night of that Brexit vote to discover that actually their income, you know, the income that they were bringing from the UK had devalued by 20% overnight because of the shift in the exchange rate. And for some people who are living on the edge, that potentially has already created impacts on their lives and their quality of life in these places. So there are some very real issues that people are living with. Things that, you know, okay, they might have had to think about shifts in the exchange rate previously, but I don't think they'd seen that real-time decrease in such a short period of time that would cause them to question whether they could continue to afford to live outside of Britain. So I think that's what I've started to pick up. As kind of concerns about the future, because the future overnight has become uncertain for these people, because of course we know that there has been no agreement on citizens' rights yet, despite the fact that there's been a position paper from the European Union and also a policy paper from the British government. But it's in very early stages, this discussion of citizens' rights and what will happen to something like freedom of movement. So we think this is really important. Because obviously, just as it's important to consider what happens to the lives of those European Union nationals living in the UK, there are reasonably sizable British populations living in other parts of Europe. And I say other parts of Europe because we are still in Europe at the moment. So this is really why we put the project together. And what we're hoping to do over the period of the next 18 months is to really listen to the concerns that people have, to document people's responses to the changes that are happening through those Brexit negotiations, their responses to those types of things. And it's not going to be ethnographic in the way that we worked before. It's more likely to be interview-based, partly because of the timing that we have to work with. But perhaps, Karen, you'd like to say a little bit more about our approach to the research this time.
Yeah, great. I mean, I think you and I are both fortunate enough to have very good networks already in France and Spain. So we're able to go there and do more intense study in those countries. So probably combine some kinds of ethnographic methods with interview-based methods. And that's going to be really important because, of course, they are the biggest populations of British abroad. But the other thing that we're going to do is have what we're calling citizens panels. And what we mean here is that we we're becoming increasingly aware of the very different types of people living in other European countries. And I say increasingly because as the project proceeds, people are actually choosing to get in touch with us, wanting to tell us their story. And so we've got people, you know, who might be working in the business world or as teachers or as entrepreneurs or even as an opera singer, for example, people in politics, all sorts of diverse peoples around Europe. And we're hoping to get a selection of people, sort of some kind of representative panel, thematically representative, not numerically representative, who will tell us their stories, but also be there for us when certain things arise, that we can contact them and ask what's going on in their country, what's going on, what kinds of debates are being had around citizenship. At a certain time, what kinds of debates are going on around economic issues. And already we've managed to build up quite a few people in the panel already, but we're still looking for more. So this is a good opportunity to plug and ask for people to get in touch. I'm sure Mikkel will end by telling us the webpage and contact details. So that's going to be really exciting. It's a new kind of method. We haven't used this before. And we just keep it very open, really. People can contact us in any ways that work for them. Skype, email, you know, maybe we'll probably occasionally send out just a sort of short survey that people can fill in. So it's kind of ethnographic in a way, in that it's using a method that works at the time for the people and for the issue.
And I think what's really important about that is we're trying to get to recruit people to those citizens panels who live in all sorts of different countries around Europe. We're not, you know, obviously we're doing this in-depth work in France and Spain, but we're very aware on the basis of the conversations that we've been having for 10 years, that actually, although, you know, the reasons that people are able to live in other countries are the same at the moment, the freedom of movement, the right to live and work in other European Union member states, actually their experiences can be quite different. Because what that means in practice is that on, you know, sometimes on a national level, sometimes on a local level, there are very different rights, there are very different access, you know, ways of accessing healthcare that are set up by the state because of the reciprocal healthcare arrangements, which is a topic that we'll talk about on another episode. And we're also aware that with Brexit, how other European Union countries manage their British populations might be quite different. So we want to track that as well. It's not just simply a case of making a blanket statement about, you know, what's going to happen to British people in Europe, because we know that in different countries that those experiences might be different. So we want to look at the ways that those British populations are being supported or not, what the particular issues are in particular areas. So we want to draw out that complexity of experience, I think, is a good way of putting it with those citizens panels. And I think in this way, we will hopefully be able to build up a big picture of what's happening to those British populations as Brexit unfolds. So I think that's an important way of putting it. So documenting concerns, but also documenting experience is quite critical to what we're trying to achieve here.
Can I just come in at that point? Because you said documenting experience, and it made me think of something that maybe we haven't made as apparent as we would like to. And that's that, yes, we're interested in economic issues, how people are coping financially, economic effects, even to the extent of people thinking whether or not they should sell their home and whether they can afford health insurance. We're also interested in citizenship issues, you know, what rights people have to live where, the decisions they're having to make about national belonging, and policy issues, the things that are being changed all the time, or suggesting, you know, suggestions that are coming forward for what might happen in different countries. So we are interested in those, but I think because we're academic researchers, it's worth pointing out to people that beyond that, we're also interested in much more deep-seated issues around how this is making people feel about where they feel they belong, how they feel about their national or their European identity, how they feel about and experience Europe itself, and even the rest of the world, how they see themselves as a citizen of the world or a citizen of England or the UK or of nowhere, as you say. So, these are really profound human issues here. It will bring in people's relationship with their children, the future they imagine for their children, how they imagine different places. So, as you just said a few minutes ago, it is these concrete things we're interested in, but also people's experiences and feelings and emotions are really interesting to us.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that also frames the way that we approach these kind of in-depth conversations that we're having with people, well, that I'm having with people in France at the moment, and that you'll be having with people in Spain, which is, a way of getting to those feelings. Anybody can go in and can kind of, have a tick box list of, healthcare, talk to me about healthcare or talk to me about taxation. But actually, we're more interested in having conversations with people, with getting involved in discussions, with finding out the depth of feeling to some of those real life issues that people are encountering. So I think that quite often when people say, when you say to somebody, "Oh, I want to come and interview you," they almost expect that spotlight, the interrogation. But that's not what you would experience if you were going to be interviewed by us, is it, Karen?
Absolutely not. It's a conversation. I prefer to say, can we have a conversation? And it's about listening and it's about hearing. And on that note, actually, at the moment, I'm collecting a few stories from people on our citizens panel, just so that we can start by hearing a little bit about who these people actually are. And it's been interesting. They're emailing them to me. And it's been interesting because people have sometimes apologized for going into too much detail. So, this is my opportunity to say, it's the detail we want. It's, because we don't know what matters to you until you tell us. We don't want to start with an assumption what we think is important. We want you to tell us what is affecting you and how things are affecting you. So those stories can be as detailed and intimate as you wish. And if you don't want to be detailed and intimate, that's fine too. But, we're here to learn from you.
And I think that's also the case. It's funny that you say that, Karen, because I get these emails from people after I've been to have conversations with them where they're like, well, I probably went off on a bit of a, tangent on this. Those aren't tangents. For me, they indicate the things that people really care about. So for me, that's incredibly valuable to hear, as you say, the detail. It's the detail that matters. So I think that's kind of a closing note to say about the kind of in-depth and citizens panels. And for people who are concerned that perhaps, we're focusing too much on just the British people themselves, we are also, as part of the project, we've got the Migration Policy Institute doing some research for us with the policymakers, both in Britain and in the European Union, with the consular services, with the support services that are there for British populations and other populations, obviously, across Europe, to try and see how they're managing this, what they think the issues are. So the work that we do, this detailed, in-depth work we do through the citizens panels and through these conversations, through these in-depth case studies in Spain and France, will be complemented by that more policy level, the more support service level discussions as well. So we are working towards all of that as well, and building up this bigger picture that draws across Europe in that way.
This is such an exciting project.
Yes, definitely. It really is. And having been in France for the past 2 weeks, I can say that, the one thing that people very often do when you talk to them is they're like, well, I'm not sure that my story is going to be any different to everyone else's. Actually, stories do vary along with, the reasons that people are in these places to begin with. So never feel that you can't take part because you're the normal story or anything like that. To us, that's not a concern, if you see what I mean. We really are just genuinely interested and genuinely concerned about what this means for the people that we've been working with for years. So from that point of view, please do come forward. Please do feel that you can approach us to take part, because the more people we have taking part, the better, I think, in some respects. What do you think, Karen?
Yeah, and also, I guess we've emphasised concerns and worries and things. I did have one person say to me, you won't want me to take part because I'm not really bothered. I'm going to stay where I am. I'm going to take Italian citizenship and I'm perfectly happy. And that's fine too. We are interested in those stories as well, of course, because that's the diversity of British people abroad.
Exactly. So don't feel you can't take part if you're not bothered. So I think it's a kind of a closing statement on that. We want to be able to tell those different stories, to tell the different ways that people feel. Similarly here, I have come across people who say, well, this is what I'm going to do. And that's that, you know, taking, as in the case of your British person in Italy, who's, you know, they're taking initiative for themselves to resolve potential issues that may or may not happen, which I think is quite interesting. And then there are people who don't believe that the outcome of this will have any impact on them at all. So either they have faith that, you know, that an agreement will be reached that's beneficial to them, or they think that actually, you know, that there are other things supporting their life in Europe that aren't necessarily just to do with that European citizenship. So I think that there are diverse reasons within that, and we're, you know, our goal is to tease out those different narratives, those different ways of understanding what's happening at this point in time.
Excellent. And we're really looking forward to it.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you, Mikla. Good to talk again.
Good to talk.
Thank you for listening to the Brexit Brits Abroad podcast. If you've enjoyed what we've been talking about today and want to find out more, check out our website, www.brexitbritsabroad.com, or you can follow us on social media via Twitter at BrexpatsEU and on Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And I'll speak to you again soon.